We continue our learning. We are in Sanhedrin, Paragim, Mishnah Vav. Ketzad bodkin es ha'edim. How do we check the witnesses? How do we maybe interrogate the witnesses? How do we investigate the witnesses? So happens to be we're speaking about Dinei Mamaros, financial matters. And when it comes to Dinei Mamaros, we don't interrogate the witnesses the way we would for Dinei Nefashos. That's what we call Drisha V'Chakira. That's something that although Midoraisa should be required for all types of witnesses, we did away with it when it came to Dinei Mamonos, Shalotin Ol Delos Bifdei Lovin. So we don't lock the doors in front of people who want to borrow money. People are not going to be willing to lend money if the witnesses that they bring in to try to get their money from the love, from the borrower, are going to be interrogated, and maybe they'll throw them out of court. So because of that, we don't need the classic Drisha V'Chakira, the classic interrogation that we normally give witnesses, but nonetheless, we still have to check them a little bit to make sure that their testimony can be corroborated. They have to be consistent. So the Mishnah explains us how this is done for Dinei Mamonos. So you machnisin osan, they would bring them into court, the witnesses. Uma'ayimin aleihem, they would try to instill a little bit of fear. How would they do that? So the Gemara calls it divrei kibushin. We would say, you have to realize how strict the sin of testifying falsely is. It causes it's not only affects you, but it affects the whole world. And besides the fact that you can anticipate a very severe punishment, but also now it's going to be disgraceful for the person who you're testifying on behalf of. So this is something that's really what we call Rala Shamayim, Rala Brios. It's bad for Hashem, it's bad for you, it's bad for everybody. So that's what we would say to the Edim who would walk in. Umotzin kaladim lachutz. And it means that after this Iyum, after we instill a little bit of fear in them, so we would take the Edim outside of Beis Din, umeshayrin esagodol shebahem. And what we do is we take one of the Edim and leave him when it comes to the Dayanim. He's the chashuv of them, so we bring him in first. And we interrogate the Edim, not one in front of the other. We want to make sure that they don't learn from one another to lie. Each one is alone. And what do we say to the gadol, to the first aid? Emor heichata yodea shezeh chayv lazeh. So it's a Dinei Mamonos case. So we say, how do you know that Shimon's chayv to pay Reuven? So imamar hu amar li shani chayv lo. If he says, Shimon told me that he's chayv. Or ish ploni amar li shu chayv lo. Or this person told me that Shimon is chayv to pay Reuven. Lomar klum, that's meaningless. Why is that meaningless? After all, if Shimon's admitting that he owes money, so should we believe him? The answer is no. People are often willing to say that they owe money, so people don't think they're so wealthy. Stucco collectors won't bother them. So don't assume that Shimon's telling the truth when he says he owes money. And the fact that someone else said that Shimon owes money, that's enemy paid. That's not testimony. That's not effective testimony. It's not acceptable. So that also lo amar klum. Ache yomar, what do we need to hear? Bifaneinu hodelo. So Chayev Lo Masayim says, the Nitba, the Lovi, the borrower, he admitted in front of the Tovea, and not to me only, but in front of the, I was there too, but the Tovea, the Malva, was there as well, and the Lovi admitted that he owes him 200 Zuz. It doesn't have to be a Lovi, Malva, and a Lovi. It could be someone who's a Shomer guarding something, or someone that could be a Nezek case. I owe you money for damaging your car. Either way, I was there. Of course, there was another aid with me. And I heard him say in front of the Tovea, in front of the claimant, I heard him say, I heard Shimon say that he owes Reuven money. Then we bring in the second aid. Ubot kenoso, we do the same thing. If we see that they're corroborated, they're consistent, so then there's no contradiction between their eidos, no sin, venosim adama. Then the dayanim, based on that, then they decide the case, and assuming they have a majority, so they're able to make a decision. Shnayim omim zakai v'echad omer chayiv zakai. Two dayanim say he's innocent, and one say he's chayiv to pay, then zakai, we follow the majority. Shnayim omim chayiv v'echad omer zakai chayiv. If two say he's chayiv, he has to pay, one says that he does not, so he's chayiv. You don't have to win by a majority of two. That's a Beis Din of 23, which we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta. Echad omer zakai v'echad omer chayiv. Let's say only one dayan says he's innocent, one says he's chayiv, the third one says any odeh, I don't know. So what this is saying is not a first case, first situation is where one says Zakai, one Dayan says he's innocent, one says he's Chayav, and the third says Eni Yodea. Now we have where, let's say, two say Zakai, or two say Chayav, and one of them says Eni Yodea. So in this case, there's a majority without this third Dayan. So let's say two people say he's Chayav to pay, and the third says, I don't know. So maybe we'd say, well, it doesn't matter. If he would say, I don't know, if he would say Zakai, so after two said Chayev, so then he'd be Chayev to pay. So maybe certainly if two say Chayev and one says Eini Yodea, he should be Chayev to pay. Or the other way, two say Zakai, he's innocent, and one says he's Chayev. So what's that? He's innocent, he doesn't pay. So why should that third Dayan, if he says, if two say Zakai and he says Eini Yodea, why should he not be Zakai? So the Mishnah says, no, that's no different than one saying innocent and one saying guilty and the third one saying Eini Yodea. The halacha is that you at this point, when someone says Eni Yodea, it's like he's not sitting in the Beis Din. So although two said Chayev and one said Eni Yodea, it's not going to help because it's like only have two Dayanim. And therefore the halacha is in both of these cases where that one person said Eni Yodea, Yosifu HaDayanim. We add on two Dayanim and then we deal with the case again. And hopefully we're able to make a ruling on in that case where we don't have an Eni Yodea Dayan. Perek Gimel Mishnah Zayin. Gamru HaSadavar. So now I've been speaking about the Psak Din. The Dayanim decided, they went back and forth, they deliberated, and they made a ruling based on Rov, based on Majority. Hayu Machnisin or someday they bring the litigants back in because they had left. They gave their claims in court, and then they had left. So now we bring them back in. Hagadol Shabbat Dayanim Amer. So the head, the most chosh of the Dayanim would say to the Nitzpa, Ish Ploni Ata Zakai, or Ish Ploni Ata Chayef, depending on what it is. You're either innocent or you're guilty. Uminayin Lechshe Yetze Echad Min Adayanim Lo Yomar Ani Mizakeh V'Chaverai Mechayvin Aval Ma Eseh Shechaverai Rabu Alai. How do we know? There's a halacha that after the verdict that one of the dayim should not go over to one of the litigants and say, "Listen, I thought you were innocent, but my friends, my other dayanim, what could I do? They felt you were guilty. There's nothing I can do. I lost in the majority, but I just want to let you know that I was on your side." He's not allowed to do that. Halzen Amar Lo Selech Rochil Ba'Mecha. Don't be a peddler. That's the prohibition. Parshas Kedoshim of Lashon Hara. Va'Omer in another pasuk Holech Rochil Megalasod. The person who walks around as a peddler, so eventually he reveals the secret. And the divrei the maso matan, the deliberations of the judges is considered a secret. No one should be is permitted to be present in the room when the Beis Din is deliberating, and therefore by now revealing this matter, so he's violating Lo Selech Rochil Ba'Amecha.